What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts! Mixed martial arts! How do we like our martial arts? We like it mixed!
Wow. What an introduction. Casey, you might be the most excited person for this card in the entire world. Yes. Fresh off of a memorable UFC 295 event that rocked Madison Square Garden. UFC returns home to the hallowed apex for UFC Vegas 82. We thought this could be kind of a historic card. This was scheduled to be the final apex event of 2023, but alas, we'll have one more on December 9th, but this is all about the middleweights. Brendan Allen versus Paul Craig, which should be a very fun main event. We'll talk about the stakes and what this fight means in a matter of moments, but thank you for joining us. I am Mike Heck, joined by my fellow teammates, my friends. First, my fellow New Englander, fresh off his trip to New York City for UFC 295, the one and only Jose Youngs. Jose, how we doing, my man?
Physically, almost better. Nasty bout of COVID right after I got back from New York, but we persevere. Especially for Brendan Allen versus Paul Craig.
Yes, and my best friend, the King of the North, co-host, co-matchmaker, on to the next one. The Prince of Positivity, and boy, we need it, Mr. Alexander Kaley. AK, what's going on with the weigh-ins right now? Do we have any updates?
You're not getting the positivity. I'm salty. I'm salty about the scheduling of this preview show. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you guys for being on the show. But that that there's weigh-ins going on right now, and I cannot give them my full attention is a travesty. I will be making this. I will be reporting this to HR. But for now, I will try to maintain some semblance of professionalism. Thank you, my best friend. I'll give people live updates of the weigh-ins should anything crazy happen. Lucas Alexander just missed weight. There you go.
He missed weight by how much?
2 pounds.
There, see? AK, you're going to get breaking news music potentially multiple times throughout this preview
show. Great.
This is the role you were always made for. Just popping in with weight misses and weigh-in news during a preview show. So, look, gentlemen, I'm not here to mince words. I'm here to tell you like it is. This main event's going to be fun. Brendan Allen versus Paul Craig. It's going to be chaos for as long as it lasts. There's a couple of decent fights on this card. And I think Jed put it best on BTLAK yesterday when he said, individually, like if each fight was on its own island, like it's not bad, but when you combine them all together, it's just not all that good. So how do you gymnastics score this card, AK? How do you score this one? If UFC 295, I believe you said it would peak at 8.8, where is this going to peak at?
I mean, this is like, it has to go below 8. This has to be in the 7.6, 7.5 range. And I say this having, you know, having had a chance to do a deep dive during fight week into some of the matchups and, you know, look into some of the fighters who I might not be familiar with. There's a couple of short notice replacements. I mean, some people might say 7.5, 7.4. The number keeps dropping. It's generous. I'm sure I'll peek at the comments in a sec, but I'm sure that they're saying something like 5, 4, lower. When I give a high number, I mean, I think people have to keep in mind it's because we tend to watch, you know, we tend to have to watch all these events anyway. I won't be working this event, thankfully. Sounds like a mean thing to say. But if I were, you know, I would have to be going into it with all those kinds of optimism. So I would sit at a 7.4, 7.5. But I think for a lot of fans, if the question is it strictly yes or no, should you stay in on a Saturday night and watch this card? It's a hard no. It's a hard no.
AK, you said something that just isn't true. You said Saturday night. It's not going to be on Saturday night. And that's what bumps this a whole extra point for me. This is probably like 6-2, 6-3, but 2 p.m. Eastern start time automatically bumps it up into the low sevens because early day MMA is the best kind of MMA. Like I said, Jose, I love this main event. I love the fact that these fighters get the opportunity before the holiday season to compete and make some money. So with that being said, I like it for them. But all in all, some good prospects. This is just, it's a contender series card on steroids in a lot of respects. Where are you at with this one?
I really like the top three fights a lot. I don't really hang out with Damon or Jed, so my negative scale is not that far to the right. But I mean, I really like the top three fights. There's a lot of fighters I'm very excited to watch on the prelim card. It's obviously not the best fight night. I definitely wouldn't say it's a contender series card on steroids. I think this is, if there was a different main event and this current main event was the co-main event and every single fight stayed the same, I wouldn't hate it at all. Like if they put Sadiq Youssef and Edson Barboza as this main event, I would really like it. I would really, really like it. I'm glad Paul Craig and Brendan Allen are getting 5-round fights because I think I would, you know, I always say, like, look, just looking at it sporting wise, I know MMA fighting likes to talk about like storylines and intrigue level and this and that. Like, just looking at it the sporting way, because this is a sport, I had a lot of questions about Brendan Allen and I had a lot of questions about Paul Craig. I'm glad they're getting 5-round opportunities. Brendan Allen's been, you know, chomping at the bits for a high contender fight in a main event spot. Paul Craig, you know, kudos to him. He even asked for Bo Nickel after his last win in middleweight. Obviously didn't get Bo Nickel. I think Bo's a little further away from getting one of these two gentlemen, but all in all, an important fight for a division that all of a sudden with Israel Adesanya on the shelf for a bit and Alex Pereira going up to light heavyweight. An important fight. I'm not saying these guys are fighting for the title next, but you know, there's a lot of people in that top 10 at 185 pounds that need fresh matchups. You know, Khamzat's allegedly supposed to fight for the title. He's not fighting anytime soon. Kamaru Usman just injected himself into the division. Robert Whittaker needs a fight. DDP is obviously fighting for the title. Jared Cannonier is hurt. So I like activity, so I do like this main event. I wish, like, what, December 2nd, we're getting 2 5-round fights in the main and co-main. If they would have thrown another main event or even another co-main event and made it a 5-round fight, I would like this fight. But as it stands, I very much like the top three fights quite a bit.
Yeah, Yusuf Barboza headlining this, and then Allen and Craig is the co-main. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good 1-2 punch right there. And like mm-hmm. I said, I do like this main event. It's gonna be a bit chaotic. Brendan Allen kind of had a tough run, Jose, against the Extreme Couture guys. First he gets finished by Sean Strickland. Didn't really let that go and then ended up fighting Chris Curtis and ended up getting finished by Chris Curtis. I know Sean was kind of on his mind heading into that fight, but since then, dude's just been on a roll. He's been just running people, 3 straight finishes. Guy's on fire right now. Like you said, Jose, wants these big fights. And then Paul Craig jumps on down to 185, gets a quick finish of Andre Muniz in a crazy ass fight. Mm-hmm. I really like this matchup here. I don't think there's any way this fight goes to the cards. But you mentioned this division getting really interesting and a lot of these guys wanting fresh matchups. Where does the winner go from here?
Would you say
a win or two away? Like how close to a title shot is is the winner of this fight, you think?
I mean, I think they're relatively close just because, you know, Israel's on the sideline. And like I said, Jared Cannonier should be fighting for the title, at least in a number one contender fight, but he's obviously hurt. Roman Dolidze obviously said he had a fight coming up. Imavov obviously needs a fight. I know there's a lot of like talk about these matchups that are happening, but nothing is official yet. So any of those names that I said are probably next. Obviously not Jared, but, you know, and I doubt Whitaker or Usman will take a fight like this because they're, you know, former champions that they want big names. And I honestly want those two to fight at 185 pound. But I would imagine one of either Brendan Allen or Paul Craig, whoever wins, I know we're going to give our picks later. And I am actually pretty confident this fight goes to the decision. It's probably like not a Dolidze because he has a fight, but maybe the winner of the Dolidze rumored fight. Maybe an Imavov, you know, Kelvin Gastelum has a fight. Well, Kelvin Gastelum's at welterweight now. Who's Chris Kerr's fighting? Didn't he just get a fight book?
Marc Andre Toronto, Berriot.
Yeah. So like I said, there's a lot of fun 185 fights coming up. So I don't know because the fight hasn't happened yet. And we all know my favorite saying. I don't need to say it again, but yeah, I have literally no idea. 185 is, for as much hate as the middleweight gets, I think it's kind of fun right now with Israel giving himself time off and Alex leaving and Usman adding himself. 185 is kind of a fun division to matchmaker right now.
It is very fun. I feel like AK, you know, you and I have a matchmaking show. I feel like this is for the Marvin Vettori sweepstakes. Like, there's a very good chance we could get the winner fighting Marvin Vettori. Like, a name, top five, top six. Vettori is probably not near a title shot at the moment unless he can run off a few straight wins. Kind of feel like that's what these guys are fighting for. I also believe that Brendan Allen needs this one a lot more than Paul Craig does. Like, Paul is just a fun dude. If he wins, loses, people don't care. They just kind of want to see him fight and just get into crazy scraps. But I feel like with where Brendan wants to go, even though he's only 27, I feel like he can't really lose right now if he wants to get into this title conversation. Where are you at with Brendan and then just the stakes of this fight in general?
I actually kind of feel like, as I was writing up the predictions for this card, I actually kind of feel like they're at best two fights today, which I mean as a compliment, which I mean like as I do think this is an important fight. I was thinking back to, you know, it wasn't that long ago. It was only 4 months ago that Sean Strickland was fighting Abus Magomedov in an Apex main event that seemed to have pretty, like, very little title implications. Now, it was a different situation because Strickland had a history with Adesanya as far as like verbal, like they had talked about possibly fighting. We knew that there was a screwed up situation with DDP being the number one contender and, you know, not being able to make the date that they clearly wanted Adesanya to fight on. So it's a different situation, but it does remind me a little bit of that as far as like I certainly didn't think Strickland was going to get a title shot off of the Abus win. And yet here we are. These two guys also don't have the growing following of a Sean Strickland, love him or hate him. He says stuff that gets fans, has been getting fans' attention and has been turning him into a much more popular fighter. So that's another thing to take into account. Maybe Brendan Allen can make that leap personality-wise. Maybe Paul Craig can make that leap personality-wise. But they're not quite in the same position as Strickland. But I do like this matchup. I do think you're right that they're fighting for the right to fight a more established contender in like a Marvin Vettori, perhaps someone else near the top of 185 can shake loose. But that seems like the obvious name for either guy. That would be a really good call out. I think no matter who wins, should go for Vettori. I know if Brendan Allen wins, he'll probably call for Strickland again. He's called for that rematch many, many, many times. So that's to his benefit. Brendan's a little bit further ahead. That's to his benefit that there is at least a history with the champion, even if the first fight wasn't particularly competitive, but it was a long time ago now. You could sort of sell a rematch. Craig is a little bit more of a wild card. He could be a top five middleweight. He could just be that win over Andre Muniz was super impressive. Or he could be, again, a guy who kind of lingers around the top 10 and never quite makes it up. But I think in a best case scenario, one of these guys could be fighting for the title in 2024. Middleweight is a very kind of rocky division right now. So with Izzy just removing himself from the equation, Robert Whittaker, I hate to say it, maybe closer to the end of his career, than his prime. And we don't know, he might just be chasing big fights. He might not want to fight a Brendan Allen or a Paul Craig, and they may get to just leapfrog over him because of that. So it sounds crazy, and it feels like this main event's a bit of a throwaway, but it does feel like we could be talking about this fight 8 months from now, when if either of these guys gets teleshot, and noting this is like the beginning of that run.
I really
Mike,
hope Brennan
Mike,
go ahead, please.
Why do you think Brennan Allen needs this win more?
Because I think Paul's a lot more interesting to the casual fan. And
he's also
I think
35, and Brennan Allen's not even 30.
No, I understand that. But it's just
that's like the only
right
thing
now
that throws me for a loop. Like if Paul Craig loses, I don't think he's fighting the title any like ever.
Right, but I don't think that matters though. Paul is one of those guys that almost defies rankings in a lot of respects. Like he's like Derek Lewis. Like we're not looking at Derek Lewis to fight for belts. We just want to see the dude fight and get into crazy scraps, and we'll watch them all, just like Paul Craig. Paul Craig could go on a run. He could win this fight and maybe go on a run. It'll be a cool story if he goes and fights for the belt, but even then, he's still a long ways away. He's probably 2 or 3 wins away from that happening. But even if he loses this, there's the Bo Nichols plant seeds that have already been planted. That fight could happen. Even if he loses that, no one will care. There's like, dude, Paul Craig's fighting. I'm going to watch. I don't know if Brendan has really earned that just yet from outside of us. Like, I think Brendan's been on a nice run. I think one of the things that kind of holds Brendan back is just, I really hope AK, God, I really hope he doesn't call for Sean Strickland. Please don't.
He might.
You know how I feel about this. He's probably going
to.
I just don't want to see him like get left behind. I just don't. Just if he calls for Marvin Vettori, like that's a great call out. It's a nice, realistic call out, and it's probably a fight he could get. I just don't want to see him like overshoot his shot, because when you get this close, it does matter. I know, Jose, you don't necessarily agree with that all the time, that call outs mean something and the UFC doesn't typically make fights based on call outs. But look at Bilal Muhammad right now. Bilal Muhammad is partly in the position he's in right now because he's misstepped with the microphone in front of his face. And now I just don't want to see Brennan in the same position, if that makes any sense.
Mike, can I ask you, do you think Brendan, if with a big win on Saturday, can he become the backup? Can he become the backup for UFC 297? Because I don't think they would trust Khamzat. I don't think Khamzat can be trusted to be a backup. I don't think he'd want to be a backup. He's hard enough to get in the cage as it is. So other than that, wouldn't Brendan be the guy to get the call? It's only, 2 months away? Assuming it's not some all-out war that, you know, shelves him for a long time, is getting like crazy cuts or anything. That could be a possibility for him, right? He could be the backup.
Maybe. They could go to Whitaker as the backup.
Ooh.
I know they could do that. I mean, there's lots of ways you can go right now. They could call on Brennan. I don't think they'll call, like you said, I don't think they'll call on Khamzat. They could call on Kamaru Usman to be the backup. Like that could happen too.
The classic, we feel like Kamaru, you know, might have won that fight, or, you know, Khamzat didn't impress as much. Usman's a draw. Yeah. Anything's in play with middleweight. There is no clear hierarchy at middleweight right now. There is no like line of like, oh, this guy should definitely, besides DDP getting it. After him, it's like, I don't know who is like the next guy for sure.
This is the best middleweight has been since I got to MMA fighting. I can tell you that right now. This is the most interesting it's ever been in quite some time with all of these names up there. So we'll see who can sort of state their case to be more at the top of that list. Jose, we'll get your official pick right now. Brendan Allen, massive favorite here. Minus 425, according to DraftKings. Comeback on Paul Craig, plus 330. Who gets this one done, Jose?
Probably Brendan Allen by decision. We have two very high level grapplers fighting each other, and normally when you get two very high level grapplers, especially they're both very good offensively grappling, but I think what they thrive in is when their opponents make mistakes and they capitalize on it. I don't think either man is going to make a mistake against the other one. So normally when you get matchups like this, it kind of turns into a sloppy kickboxing fight, which is fine and a lot of fun to watch. And if that does happen, I think just Brendan Allen is not a spectacular striker. I just think he's a better striker than Paul Craig. I think Paul Craig's biggest fault when he fights is when he gets punched hard, his reactions are so visceral. Like he kind of closes his eyes and makes faces. And obviously that doesn't look good when there's three people judging a fight. I just think he doesn't take damage well. And obviously Brendan Allen has been finished. I just think Brendan Allen is a slightly better striker than Paul Craig. Paul Craig
You know, he tries to do he always tries to take fights down, a la the Johnny Walker fight, and he got knocked out trying to secure a takedown. Obviously, in fights like Andre Muniz and Shogun Hua, he got on top of you and just kind of beat the soul out of them. I don't think he's going to do that with Brandon Allen. I think Brandon Allen is a very good reactive grappler, just like Paul Craig. So if this does turn into a sloppy kickboxing fight between two black belts, then I think Brandon Allen pulls off the decision.
AK, what do you think? Are you with Brandon Allen and Jose going Brandon Allen via the magic of the scorecards here? Do you agree with that?
Firstly, we just had Euros Medic weigh in.
Uh-oh.
I'm hearing now. He made it 171, but he was the first fighter today to need the box of redemption. So anyway, all you Euros Medic fans out there, breathe a sigh of relief. 171, it's all good. His fight with...
All right.
Muktebek Orlbay is official. I think, hold on. I forgot if Muktebek waited. Yes, okay, it is official. Good, the music was fine. thank you, Casey. I'm gonna go the other way for the UFC Vegas 82 main event. I said Paul Craig was a wild card. It just feels like it's not a trap fight because I know we said Brandon's pretty heavily favored, but I do think there's enough people out there giving Craig a chance. It's just so unclear what he can be at 185. It was kind of unclear what he was at 205, because 205 he picked up some big wins. Got some very memorable finishes. He has wins over Ankalaev and Jamal Hill at 205, right? So we thought, like, this guy could be contender. He was ranked at some point, both in our rankings and the UFC's rankings. I think he was higher in the UFC. I want to say he made it somewhere in the top 10. I think for us, he maybe landed around top 15. So we didn't know what he was on the heavyweight. He was a wild card there. Now you insert him into this middleweight picture. Yes, he's a bit up there in age. Like I said, they're around 35 years old. But that's, I don't think that's a death sentence at middleweight. Middleweight is... it's not quite like light heavyweight and heavy where you can be up there in your late 30s and doesn't mean much. Like there is sort of still an athleticism gap between Paul Craig and some of the up and comers at 185, but it's not that big. So I like his chances. I definitely don't see it going to the cards. I like Paul Craig to finish. I will say Paul Craig knockout. Let's bring back some third round Craig magic. So I'll go round three. Maybe a competitive fight. He might be down on one of the cards, comes back in the third and finds a way to KO Brandon Allen. And let me just say, I'm doing a little bit of reverse jinxing here for Brandon Allen, because I picked him to lose his last two fights after before the Andre Muniz fight, or was it before the Bruno Silva fight? Before one of these fights, he was quite amused by my prediction, and I was one of the so-called media members he called out. So I will continue to pick against you, Brandon Allen, and perhaps this will be a bit of reverse luck, and you'll get another win, because I definitely picked him to lose to Bruno Silva as well, and he pulled that one off. So I am officially picking Paul Craig. Wink.
I'm going to go with the former middleweight champ. I think he is the former middleweight champ. He did win. He did defeat Christoph Jocko to earn that honor and distinction, but... yeah, I think this little finish run he's on has kind of gotten that belt vacated from him. I think he finishes. I think Brandon Allen's probably live for a knockout here. Like, again, two very good grapplers, but Brandon Allen's striking has gotten a lot better. Him going to Killcliff was a brilliant move. You saw it in the Bruno Silva fight. He hurt him on the feet before he got the finish. Club and sub is also in play, but I kind of think Brennan gets a ground and pound finish here. Paul is a wild card. I think it happens in round two, because honestly, if this fight goes to round three, this is going to get real hairy, because I think Paul Craig gets a little more live the longer this fight goes, because he is such a wild card. But I do think Brennan's on a really good run right now. I do think his striking has evolved immensely, night and day, since the Chris Curtis fight. It's not where he probably wants it to be. It's probably not at a level where, you know, he'd feel great in a rematch with a guy like Sean Strickland or even Dricus du Plessis. But boy, considering where he was in that fight, even like the Kyle Daukaus fight, to where he is now from a striking perspective, vastly improved. So I do think Brandon Allen is live for a KO/TKO. So I'll go Brandon Allen TKO round two to... I think that's five in a row for Brandon Allen. So it should be a wild fight. I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot to like there.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
We got, as Jose mentioned, we got Jake Matthews versus the up-and-coming Michael Morales. That should be fun. Good little step up for the 24-year-old. Chase Hooper, Jordan Leavitt getting after it at 155. I think this is freaking brilliant matchmaking. I have literally no idea how this fight's going to go. Peyton Talbot making his UFC debut. Biggest favorite on the card, minus 750 over Nick Aguirre. Amanda Ribas back against Luana Pinheiro. AK, has Luana Pinheiro hit the scales yet?
Luana Pinheiro has not appeared at the scale yet. Her opponent, Amanda Ribas, has. Amanda successfully made weight. We're still waiting on Luana Pinheiro.
Yes. We have the aforementioned Uroš Medić versus Mektaybek Orabai. AK, would you be surprised to know that the newcomer, Orabai, is the favorite here against Uroš?
I would not be surprised. I have seen some Orabai tape. The dude is
he's a hitter.
The dude's a hitter. Like he is a finisher. Like this dude.
This is a fight that this is not reaching the judges' scorecards.
No,
that's for sure.
No,
Has Medić ever reached the scorecards in his MMA career? I know he hasn't in the UFC.
All his wins are by finish. I don't know if he's lost a decision, but all his wins are by.
No, I know because I'm pretty sure he's only lost to Jalen, and I know that was a rear naked choke, like pretty quick too.
No decisions. He has never gone to the cards.
Someone's going to bed.
Someone's definitely going to bed.
He's a good talker. You can ask him two questions and you'll have a 15-minute interview.
His opponent, one win, one loss to went to the cards, and everything else is a finish. That is going to be a scrap. Very much looking forward to that. Look, there's a lot of prospects on this card. We got Christian Leroy Duncan back taking on Dennis Tolulian. Mick Parkin trying to build upon the momentum of one Tommy Aspinall against Kyle Machado. A couple of contender series vets. Lucas Alexander missing weight as a minus 535 favorite against Jekka Sarag. Lucy Pudilova.
I think Lucas Alexander is going to weigh in again. So I guess we can't quite say he's missed weight, but not looking great so far.
Missed on the first attempt.
2 pounds over on his first attempt, yeah.
We have a women's bantamweight fight on the slate right now. Lucy Pudilova, who I believe is ranked in the MMA fighting rankings. Is that accurate?
Tied for number 13.
Wow. This doesn't happen all that often.
I know.
So get excited. Taking on Eileen Perez, who is a pretty big favorite. Nicholas Mota back against Trey Ogden. And Charles Johnson, Rafael Estevam will kick off the festivities at 2 p.m. Eastern. So, look, I'm not here to tell. We may not be giving it like a high rating, but this isn't going to be a bad watch. Like if your day is planned upon sitting down on your sofa with some food at 2 p.m. Eastern to watch these fights, I think you're going to have a good time.
Bro, I'll watch Jonathan Pierce fight anybody. And I'll
love that fight.
Oh my
JSP,
God.
That,
I can't believe, like, I know I'm the big, like, prelims versus main card doesn't matter on these type of things because it's essentially just one long card. It's from ESPN Plus, ESPN Plus with a slight commercial break in the middle. But Jonathan Pierce deserves to be way higher. That dude is so violent and so fun to interview and so No. He should be because Michael Morales. I think Michael Morales is so good. I think he's the real. I think they're trying to make him a thing, especially if like Cheeto wins the title and Michael Morales is there. Like they're gonna try to make Ecuador a thing. I know MMA fighting loves Jake Matthews. Not Jose.
No, we got off that a long time ago.
But I think Chase Hooper, Jordan Levitt should maybe slot down, and JSP should be right. He should be third from the top because Michael Morales is so good, and Jake Matthews is. I'm not a huge fan as a fighter. Fun interview, and I like his tattoos. I think they're actually very well done. I think this is a very good test for Michael Morales. I like this matchup a lot, but Michael Morales is the opposite. I think he loves his tattoos, and he has every single MMA tattoo you'll ever think. I'm pretty sure he has a tiger wearing Spartan armor, which is just everything you want in an MMA fighter.
Yeah. I mean, I get why Morales is in the spot. Like, they're trying to get him over. But to me, the second most interesting fight on the card is Pierce and Brito. Like, JSP coming off the injury, how's he going to look? He's supposed to fight Bryce Mitchell.
Yeah, it was.
I'll go. The three fights ahead of the main event are all kind of, I think, try to get people over fights. Because Michael Morales, obviously, like we said, blue chipper. Chase Hooper, we were all kind of surprised. We've been talking about the odds all week. He was like a 2-1 favorite. I don't know if it went down.
Minus 205.
That's a bit surprised. So they must know something we don't. I mean, I think it's a good match on paper for Jordan Levitt. But anyway, so they like him a lot, obviously. And Peyton Talbot, I honestly didn't know much about him. But like you said, the biggest favorite on the card, apparently. So they must see something in him. And by the way, Luena Pinheiro has made weight, so her fight with Amanda Ribas is now official.
The Michael Morales fight is fun because I actually do like his progression up the, like, every fight seems slightly better. Like, obviously, Ian Gary's done that. Hamzat obviously got the rocket, like, right away. But I like how these welterweight guys are, like, slowly, like, I'm pretty sure his first UFC fight was Trevin Giles, which is a tough fight. And he won that. And I'm pretty sure he knocked him out. And then he beat Adam Fugit. Yep. Adam Fugit fought Michael Malott in the co-main event, if I remember correctly. And then beat Max Griffin. Those are three tough cats. So I think Michael Morales wins this. You know, there's rumors of certain pay-per-views happening certain places at the beginning of 2024. I think there's a very specific one that we can't really talk about until it's confirmed. I think he'd be a great slot as like a prelim fighter on that one.
There you go.
Lucas Alexander has officially missed weight. So I guess he either did not
win again or came in.
You hate to see it. We don't know status of his bout with Jekka Sargi pending, as is a purse penalty if the bout does proceed to catch weight. So hopefully everything sticks together. I'm surprised Jekka. Look at some of the odds here, guys. Jekka's a huge fit, plus 400. He looks terrible against Angel Jubilee. And I thought he was going to beat Angel Jubilee. Yeah, so maybe he's...
That's why he's a big, fat underdog.
Oh, he's under... Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I saw minus 4. Okay. I see.
Lucas Alexander's the minus 535 favorite.
I saw... Okay. That makes way more sense. I saw minus 400. Yes, you're right. It is plus 400. Oh, my gosh. I was like, that seems insane.
I was going to say, I need to alert... Someone should alert the betting institutions if he is now a minus 400 favorite. Okay. Something is terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Something is terribly wrong.
And this 2-pound weight miss for Lucas Alexander tells me he did not try to cut weight again. And because he didn't show up that late either, so he showed up like an hour in. So that feels like a strategic weight miss to me. Like they could have tried to cut more, but they were like, nah, let's just stop it too. Take the fine and let's go. Yeah. So
we'll give him 20% and we'll take the win bonus home.
It's all good for Jekka.
Yes. Casey, come on in. We'll take some questions. There's obviously this card. There's a lot going on in the wonderful world of the UFC coming out of UFC 295. There's possibly the final Bellator event coming up later on today.
The card of the weekend.
Definitely the card of the weekend. Definitely has the fight of the weekend.
Oh,
that's for sure.
I'm super excited to watch that. I'm super excited to sit home and watch the final Bellator card on Showtime, at least tonight. I'm actually very hyped for that card. Very hyped.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
But questions, we have very little questions about this card, actually.
Not surprised.
This is the most interesting and maybe the most relevant.
Mr. T, is this the first time we've ever had two fighters with two first names headline a UFC event?
No. Right at Frankie Edgar, BJ Penn.
Yeah, Penn. Yeah, Penn. Penn, is the
Penn
first
counts.
Name.
Penn tracks. Yep.
Technically, anything can be a first name when you think about it. But I understand that.
I've never met a Penn. Like, hey,
Penn Jillette. Penn Jillette. It's even spelled Penn, the same way.
Penn. Yeah, he's like a celebrity. It's not a real person. Like, I've never worked.
All right, so MMA fighting MMA fighting likes move the goalpost. MMA fighting likes move the goalpost. But the answer is Frankie Edgar, BJ Penn. I guess if you want, because there's been a couple of senators whose first name is Johnson, Demetrius Johnson, Tim Elliott would be another one.
Silly first name. Penn's a silly first name. I want standard Penn boring first names. Standard
Penn
boring first names.
Badgett?
He wants. Casey would like anglicized white middle American names headlining UFC events. I mean, it's Dana White's promotion.
Dude, that's
so
what I'm all about. Jose finally got me. That's what I'm all about.
I mean, look at that hat. Look at that hat. Me. He's from. I mean, where you? You're from Texas, right? That tracks.
Me and my grindcore hat. Okay.
No, I'm just saying, isn't it? It's camo. That's what I mean. Like, people don't know what grindcore is in the chat.
They will. I bet somebody does.
Yeah, probably. It's MMA. We like silly things.
Yeah. I listened to a podcast about Napalm Death today. So, yeah. All right. Edgar Penn. And they did it. How many times did they do it? Three times.
I think only two of them were main events, though, because the first one was in Abu Dhabi as a co-main.
Oh, yeah. And the third one, we all cried.
Yeah. Oh. And I guess Johnson, there are Johnson first names. So Demetrius Johnson, Tim Elliott. That was the main event, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that could technically be one, too. Ew. But that is an interesting question.
I love that. We had the right guy here for this. Jose Jadale's it. That's it?
That's it.
That's the only question.
No, someone asked, do you have anyone? I love that. I pinned it. I pinned it to the top of the YouTube. Case, did you see that?
What is it?
Oh, is this the worst card of 2023?
I don't want to be so negative.
I don't mind.
That's like when people are like, who's the most overrated fighter? It's like, why do you want to talk like that?
Who's the fighter who sucks ass the most is the question I want to answer.
But like when he says which fighter sucks ass, he's not talking about fighting ability. He's talking about the literal act.
Literal question.
I don't think this is the worst.
No, I don't. I had to look back. I cheated.
It is, and I don't agree with Dana White's promotional tactics, but I do agree. Sometimes the fights on paper look like trash, and then the fights are a lot of fun. It's the fights like when we had the Misha Tate Caitlin Vieira fight card. Like that fight card on paper looked very bad, and the fights were very bad. And those are the ones that stick out. It's the ones that are a lot of fun that don't look good on paper that we never really talk about.
I think this card will at least give people finishes on the prelims, which people like. That's always a fun thing. You got like three or four memorable finishes. And again, that's usually a sign of, as the odds are kind of showing, maybe some mismatches. But this could work out really well for the UFC. And then we said on the main card, there's some showcase fights. So, but I still say, again, I never define a card by its amount of finishes. I don't care. No. Like, a two-thirds of this card is a finish. It doesn't mean it's a great card. It means it may be easy to watch, but it doesn't mean it was a great card. It doesn't mean it was a memorable card. I'm just looking back at some of the previous ones this year. This Blanchfield-Andrade card was pretty – the fight was amazing. Great headliner. Much stronger headliner than this. But that card is rough on paper. Paga, Jordan Wright, Pogues, Josh Parisian, Praknia, William Knight, and in practice also did not like –
Well, I think the problem with this card too is just the stakes. I mean, we had kind of like, does Allen or Craig need to win more? We're like, yeah, I guess they both need to win. You know, it wasn't, we're kind of, you know, it's just, it's, the fights are important, obviously, to the individuals. Everyone gets a paycheck. And, you know, half these fighters move slightly closer to a title shot.
The home Bueno Silva card was a tough hang.
I was going to ask. I missed that card. I was, unfortunately, in Japan traveling, you know, terrible. But I'd missed that card, and I'm looking at it on paper. Just did not look. This card is not jumping
but
out.
But home Bueno Silva, even that had the good finish, and there was high stakes. The winner got a title shot. There's nothing.
We did see the goat.
There was no winner. Technically.
Don't you ever say that, Jose. That win is counted officially by the MMAfighting.com staff. All right, that is an official win. I don't care what the commission says.
Is this one of the outside the top two fights? Are there any top 15 fighters on this card? Oh, wait, yes. I guess
how dare you? You mentioned Pinera and Hibas. Hibas is in our
JSP is a Favre, is he not?
He's close. He was supposed to fight Bryce Mitchell. He was going to absolutely be ranked if he beat Bryce Mitchell.
I wouldn't. If JSM wins, I would be. I don't think Diego Lopes is going to get the Bryce Mitchell fight just yet. I don't think Bryce Mitchell would take that because he seems to be wanting to, you know, fight relatively close to the top seven, top five. I would love JSP versus Diego Lopes. That would be such a violent fight.
That's a good call.
That would be such a – especially if it's like a main event in Mexico City in February. Oh, my God. Huh?
I went Lopez versus Alexander Hernandez as a nice little step up. A known name who's fought good dudes, kind of a veteran. When the name would mean something in the resume. I don't want to slow roll Diego Lopez, but I don't want to rush him too quickly either.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Give him like one more established name outside of the top 15, and then we can start talking about those other fights. But they clearly have something with him. Like he's.
I tell you what, of all the fighters, like he got the one of the biggest reactions at MSG, especially for the ceremonials. It's awesome to see.
It's incredible. What a year that man has had. He might be the rookie of the year for MMA fighting this year. It's very possible.
That's a good shout.
We don't have to answer this formally. Forrest, we love you, is asking, how's a UFC card with 14 fights a bad card? Gratitude, people. And listen, if you like a lot of fight, you're going to love tonight's Bellator card because it's got 16 fights on it.
16 fights.
We've had some Bellator cards with like 19 fights. So, Forrest, I wish more fans had your attitude because Bellator would be the number one promotion in the world right now because they just load those. They just shovel.
They have so many fights. They have so many fights. They put on fights after the main event.
That is how many fights they have. Where has this energy been?
I thought we wanted fighters to get paid. This is a good thing, people. Right?
UFC 295 at Madison Square Garden didn't even have 14 fights. At 13,
and that was crap compared to this card. This card has 14 fights.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Come on, man.
It's a numbers game, baby. Numbers.
13 is too many.
Let's talk real quick because. You know, who cares about them? But they're actually the most important fight of the weekend.
Is Big Tuna fighting this weekend? Who you got for Pettis versus Patchy Mix? Man, this is a great fight.
What does MOV mean?
I'm not sure what that is. I'm just going to ignore that part.
Move?
I thought that was Amosov, but it's not Mav, so I'm not sure.
Scott, what is MOV? You're still in the comments. What is MOV?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
Most objectively violent. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Go ahead, guys. Go ahead with your pick.
Probably Patchy. I think Patchy is the most underrated and underappreciated fighter in all of MMA right now. No, Amosov is good too. But
I think Pettis might actually be the most underappreciated fighter in all of
that's
them
true.
Right now.
I mean, by that definition, Sergio, who is technically the reigning champion, would be more underappreciated. But
am I knockout this is the year in 2021?
Yeah, 21.
I mean, Patchy's knockout of Rufian Sass has got to be on the shortlist too.
I think that might have been my number two knockout. Last year.
That was this year.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
And that might.
That was his last fight.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That's going to be one or two.
I don't know if it'll even be in my top three, but it's
close to my top five. I think it's freaking incredible.
Yeah. I think Patchy's going to win, but I think it's going to be.
I'm picking Patchy, but Sergio Pettis shocks me all the time.
I know. Sergio's performance against Patricio, I thought Patricio was going to wash Sergio.
Me too. Sergio looked great. He just looked great. People didn't look bad. Sergio looked amazing.
Okay.
Also, why can't Sergio get a main event? This is the second fight in a row he should be the main event.
It just came to me. This just came to me. This is what's going to happen. Sergio Pettis Sergio Pettis is going to win.
MOV is method of victory. Method of victory. Ah. We got it.
Sergio Pettis come from behind decision win.
Sure.
Patchy's going to come out hot. He's going to come out red hot. He's going to win the first two rounds. He's going to be winning some of the third. And then Pettis is going to start finding himself. He's going to start finding his range. He's going to start landing shots. Patchy's going to get a little bit tired. Pettis is going to turn up the volume. And he's going to eke out a somewhat controversial decision. But it's going to be one of the best Bellator fights of the year. This fight is going to deliver in spades.
Hope so.
But Pettis has got to sneak it out. And this doesn't mean that I don't think Patchy is still one of the best bantamweights in the world. I think this is going to be one of those kind of learning experiences for him. I think Patchy's going to start off so good. Maybe almost finish Pettis. Maybe have him in some tough spots. But I don't know. This kind of screams like it's going to be like the Archuleta fight in some respects. I think it's going to be something like that. Mm-hmm. But better.
I'm going.
That was Patchy, a good fight. Archuleta Mixer was a great fight too.
Mm-hmm.
Great
tremendous fight.
I'm going Patchy by decision, but I keep picking against Pettis, and he's proved me wrong. Yeah, I didn't think he'd beat Pitbull, and there you go, Pettis. I didn't think he'd beat Horiguchi.
Nope.
The man keeps finding a way. Listen, he gets his hand raised at the end. That's what matters. By the way, we have a second weight miss. A very unhappy looking Rafael Estevam stepped to the scale, and you just knew he wasn't going to make it. I don't think he bothered with the box. 128, so 2 pounds over the non-title flyweight limit.
Aye! So who's left? Do you have anybody left?
We're still waiting on Eileen Perez, but I'll be honest, this is women's bantamweight, so I just don't, I just don't like her chances. It's not good, guys.
She's not gonna
come. All I want is a ranked women's bantamweight fight. Is this too much to ask for?
You got one next week, or 2 weeks.
For now, as Jose would say, yeah, we've got one. We'll see. I thought we had one on Saturday.
Are Misha Tate and Julia Avila both not ranked? Are they both out of the rankings?
Misha is ranked in our. It actually is ranked in our ranking. Okay. I think we all decided.
Julia was top 10 before she left to make a baby. Yeah.
Correct.
Yes. That's gonna be a fun.
I'm
super excited for Tate Avila. I'm super excited. I was a big fan of Julia Avila, and I'm very excited for that fight.
I pulled up my knockouts of the year, and I have Stotts over, or I have mixed KO and Stotts at number 4. So top 5, but not top 2.
It's going to be tough.
We'll give our list later.
It's going to be tough beating Izzy.
Yeah. It's going to be tough beating. I mean, I have Gaethje over Poirier at number 2.
That's a good one, too. Yeah, it's a good one, too. There's a lot of good ones. Yeah. Benoit Saint-Denis is on that list probably now after he head kicked Matt Frivola halfway across the freaking.
I mean, I have Terrence, I have Bonfim just literally melting Terrence McKinney at
There's a lot of good ones.
5.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
And I'm definitely gonna have in my top 10, maybe top 5. I gotta think about it. I forgot his name right now. The Japanese kid who's the 45 champ, who knocked out that guy from the upkick and. Did 20 punches.
Oh, yeah.
Suzuki?
Jiro.
Yeah, Suzuki. Jiro.
Yeah.
Jiro.
Yeah, yeah.
He's sick.
Yeah.
That was nasty.
Good. Oh, yeah.
Juan Archuleta wants to fight him. That's a super fun fight.
Excited. Is he officially a full-on Ryzen fighter now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Or at least, him. I mean, yeah, absolutely. He seems to love it there.
The Mexican that walks out with a conquistador helmet? So mm-hmm. still That's so it. Bizarre to me.
That's his name.
That's so bizarre. C'est la vie.
All right. Any more questions?
Take a couple more.
It's focused on these cards, people.
We will have a Q&A tomorrow so we can answer all the other weird questions.
We'll go a little more broader tomorrow.
Since everyone seems to be jumping on the Jed Meshew John Jones gaslight movement. We can discuss that tomorrow.
It's a powerful movement.
Oh. Question the panel. Which undefeated fighter on this UFC card loses their zero?
Let me see.
I mean, I would, you would have to assume Michael Morales probably has the highest chance because Jake Matthews is so such a veteran fighter. Mm-hmm. Such a veteran fighter.
At only 29, too. Only 29.
Which is crazy. Yeah. Every time
it's crazy, but since we saw how the careers of Jordan Mead and Rory McDonald have played out, having a crap load of fights at such a young age has always been kind of freaky to me.
I'm going to cheat and I'm going to say Luana Pinheiro, who's not undefeated, but is undefeated in the UFC. I think obviously she has one of the toughest Amanda Hibas. Because who are the other actual undefeated? It's Peyton Talbot and I think Esteban.
Mick Parkin is undefeated.
Is he undefeated? Stop it.
7-0.
Undefeated heavyweight Mick Parkin? Oh, dude, my God. I think, honestly.
I'm going to say him. Yeah. By the way, only because it's heavyweight and anything can happen.
Yeah, I think Esteban. I think Charles Johnson is better than his record, UFC record shows, because he's fought some extremely, extremely talented people.
He's good. Yeah, he's
good. So
he's
good.
He just loses. He's just not quite. He's been a really good opponent.
He's lost close fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's
That's a good pick. That's a good shout.
Honestly, I would not be surprised if all three lost. But so stuff. Dang, Chris Leroy Duncan's on this card too. How do we not talk about him? That's like he's very talented too.
His last fight was so discouraging though. I was so bummed out by his last fight. I thought, and again, everyone can have an off night, but I was like, oof.
I mean, Armory Trojan is very good. So let's fight Cesar Almeida, right?
Yeah, Cesar Almeida. I was looking forward to that one. I liked what I saw from Almeida on the Contender Series.
I just hope if Christian Leroy Duncan wins, I hope it's not. Because like his debut is against Dusko, and I was very excited for that fight. But then Dusko got hurt in the middle of the fight, so it was kind of like a weird. It was like very early into the fight, right?
Yeah, like it was definitely in the first round. It was pretty quick, was it not? Yeah,
and I liked his Christian Leroy Duncan was supposed to, who was like 5-0, was supposed to fight Jesse Taylor, who has had like more fights than anyone in the history of MMA. He was supposed to fight Jesse Taylor in like Cage Warriors. So he's like, what does Dusko have that Jesse Taylor doesn't? I'm like, I mean, that's a very good question, and then we never got to a real answer.
Dude, Jesse Taylor is going to be a fascinating one to tell.
It's one of a kind, that's for sure. We had an Eileen Perez appearance at the weigh-ins.
She showed up.
She did. 136.5, half over the limit. So. And it looks like they're just taking the scale. They've taken the scale away, so I think that is official. I know Lucas Alexander and Estefan are both official. I don't think we'll see Eileen get another chance, but I'm not sure. I can't say that for sure yet, but not great.
Well, there you have it.
Oh, before we...
Oh, that's a bummer. Let's not end on that.
Okay, yeah. So before we check out, tonight, watch LFA on UFC Fight Pass. My teammate, Big Ass Cody Davis, will be defending his flyweight championship belt in this is back-to-back, his second main event for LFA. And he is fighting, what is this gentleman's name? Enrique Chopolin. And it's in Phoenix, right down the street from Jose. So Jose can make it.
I was going to go because LFA literally walking distance from my apartment, but I am still very sick.
Yeah, I figure. Yeah. Stay home.
If there's ever, whenever LFA does stuff in Phoenix, I normally just go because I rarely get to go to MMA fights as a fan. Mm-hmm. And there's always a lot of UFC fighters walking around. And I had tickets, but unfortunately, I do not want to get anyone else sick.
Yeah, that is you're being a good citizen.
Two notes here. Casey, two notes here. Cody Davis, your teammate. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's facing Eduardo Chapolin, or otherwise known as Eduardo Henrique. So we're getting another two first names main event, by the way, at LFA. And sorry, what did you say Cody's nickname was?
Big Ass.
You can't just gloss over that. You can't just, you tried to slide that one under the fence. I was like, excuse me.
Well, when you said that, you called him Cody Big Ass Davis. You said featherweight, and then you laughed, and I was like, all right, he's gonna say light heavyweight or heavyweight, and then you actually dropped two weight classes after the nickname. I was stunned.
He's a flyweight name. Do I want to know the origin of this nickname?
You just look at the man. I think he's like, he's 5'4", and he's got a big one.
I don't feel comfortable.
Tune in.
I don't know him, but yeah. If you want to know why.
But watch him. He's exciting. He's just all action, and there's absolutely zero reason he is not in the big show, but he's fighting tonight. And so check it out after, of course, or during, or have two TVs while you watch the Bellator card to see the number one in my ranking. I feel the best bantamweight and the best welterweight are fighting tonight in the world.
Yeah, LFA's got some good prospects right now. They got a couple. He's one. Isaac Thompson's another guy that I'm very excited about. They got a lot of good ones. There's a lot of good ones. All right, you can hit the music, Casey. I think we have done our part. We will be back tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, for the People's Pre-Fight Show. And look, we're all MMA fans at the end of the day. We could be tough. We could be tough graders. But if this is the final Bellator event, let's all enjoy it for what it is. It's a damn good card. I mean, it's really going to be tough to beat. We got the two title fights, Amosov Jackson. We got Pettis Mix. We got Stott Sabatello 2. AJ freaking McKee is back against Sydney Outlaw. Patricky Pitbull versus Alexander Shabli. Shabli might be one of the five best lightweights in the world right now.
Maybe. Maybe.
Tomiko Inaba is a star in the making. She's fighting on this card as well against Denise Kielholz. Archie Colgan on the card. A lot of up and coming prospects. A lot of people. Cody Law, Ramazan Kurmagomedov.
Carrie Taylor Melendez.
Yep. Yep. Carrie Taylor Melendez back. Yeah. Should be Timur Kizriev is on the card. Like, there's a lot to like here. So let's just enjoy it. Let's send Bellator out with the bang, everybody. For AK, for Jose, for Casey, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching. We'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the fights tonight, everybody.
Bye, Jose. Say bye.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.